Our Father in heaven, we thank you this day in the name of the Lord Jesus. Holy Father, righteous Father, has given unto us your righteousness. We have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is now no more condemnation for us in the name of the Lord Jesus. We are dead unto sin. We are alive unto righteousness. Now because you live, Lord, we live also in the name of the Lord Jesus. In fact, in you we live and move and have our being in the name of our Lord Jesus. Thank you for this invitation this morning. Not to ourselves, but unto you, Lord, are we gathered to the word of the living God. Having had fellowship with you individually, we believe now we are here to have fellowship, one with another, and we have been enjoying it, and also with you. Lord, bless the reading of your word this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. So thank you, beloved brethren, for being here again, the house fellowship. So this morning, one of those subjects that I really talk, you know, about and so forth, you know. So see, God has his fingerprint in all of his creation. Praise the Lord. You can look at nature, you can look at anywhere you want. You will see the fingerprint of God everywhere because he is the creator of all things. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All things were created by the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, so the Bible speaks the remarkable system of design. That is a designer to this world and to the universes. They show that it's a designer. Praise God. Nothing happened by chance. Even nature teaches that nothing in this world or anywhere happens by chance. So we know the Bible reveals the remarkable system of design as expressed even by the many cycles of world history. Even the world history, we can see the finger of God. They were preordained, they were predestinated. God called them from the beginning. Praise God. And we have talked about these cycles before. Many of them, we have the six-day cycles of World War I. We talked about them before. We have six-day of cycles of the armistice. And some of you, if you are not here before with us, you may not know these things, but talk about that. There is six-day cycles of the United Nations. We can see the devil working with it, because what the United Nations is bringing world peace without the Prince of Peace. Praise the Lord. It is impossible. Praise God. Only the Lord Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Bless God. Now, we see also the six-day cycles of Pearl Harbor, when the Japanese and, you know, when they bombed the harbor and so on. It was in history, you know. We see the cycles in there. There are the cycle of the God's elect too, the 153-year cycles of God's elect. We talked about them before. There is the perfect year of 360 days. We're talking about the calendar system of the world today. We see the hand of God in all these things. Even Israel itself, there are the cycles of Israel Jubilee, you know, and some of that, you know. And then one day, we go to that cycle of Israel Jubilee. That is God's time clock for the world. And so, if you want to know what God's time is, look at what is happening in Israel. Amen. It is God's time clock to the nation. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So now, that is just even not touching the tip of the iceberg. There are many, many other cycles. But this morning, I want to bring one out. This chronological knowledge conceal, look at the planets and some of that, you know. Sometimes we talk about the heavens. Even the ancients, they talk about the heavens. And many Christian circles today, they can't even talk about this kind of things. But we have liberty here to talk about everything that is in this Bible. Praise the Lord. That is the liberty we have. So we see many, many circles and so on in world history and some of that, you know. So that one this morning, the circle conceal the movement of the planets. Why are they spaced the way they are? Why are they in different orbits? Why? Is it by accident or by chance? I don't think so. So, questions this morning. Was the dispensation of time, which the Bible show were predetermined in the history of man, should in some manner be expressed in the length of the periods that the planets require to move in their orbits around the sun? So you see, world history predetermined by God. God preserving many, many things and so on like that, you know. Why? Is there any relationship between the time it takes the planet to go to, around the sun, the heart to go through around the sun, once in 365 days and so on like that, you know. Venus is shorter, Mercury is shorter. As you go out towards our solar system, they become longer and longer because the farther they are from the sun, the longer it takes, you know, to for them to go around the sun. How all this period, we call them period, the time, so the period of the earth is 365 1/4 days, right? That's the period, the time it takes for it to go around the sun one time and so on like that, you know. So are these periods that each of these planets takes to go around the sun, are they in any relation to the dispensation of time for man on earth? Are they or are they not? Well, let's look at it, you know, and so on like that, you know. So now let me put this one here. This thought here is in no way a sanctioning of the so-called art of astrology, because they talk something like this is really it's a corruption of the truth. Astrology is a corruption of the truth. Astronomy is of the Lord. True astronomy is related to the Bible and so on like that, you know. So anyway, so this thought I want to express here this morning is in no way sanctioning of the so-called art of astrology, nor any other form of fortune telling at all. In fact, I will give the Bible verses that astrology and fortune telling and so forth is completely condemned by the scriptures. Amen. And no child of God should touch it or even go near it. Praise the Lord. Wow. Let me just get one scripture in Isaiah 47, the 13th verse. So don't go near astrology. You have your Bible with you and so on. That's all you need. Isaiah 47, verse 13. God's warning to his children not to meddle with astrology or anything like that, you know. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsel. Let now the astrologers, see, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators or prognosticators stand up. Let them stand up. And save thee from these things that shall come upon thee, warning Israel and so on like that. You know, they forsook God. They begin to worship the heavens and so on like that. You know, God begin to warn them. So anyway, verse 14. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. And many other scripture warn about not many with astrology and so on, that you know, God see that idea. So this morning what I'm talking about has nothing to do with astrology, but actually, you know, biblical, you know, reasoning, you know, by the heaven and so on, the planets and so on. What you want to bring out is that are the periods by which each planet go around the sun, are they in any relationship with the time that God gave man upon the earth or not? So God has his fingerprints upon all the creation. So having cleared that out of the way, we will now speak in view of declaration of the scripture. In Genesis 1:14, Genesis 1 verse 14, God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. That is the view for where we're going to be talking this morning, very briefly really, you know. So God set them there to be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. So since God has put on record that the light in the heaven was to be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, it is evident that they are to serve another purpose than merely to give light. We know that, you know, as we see now, not just to give light, yet they are there for that, the Bible says so, but evidently we know they serve other purposes. The sun and the moon, for example, mark the days. They mark the night. When the sun goes down, it is night, right? When it comes up, it is day. So they mark the night and days and so on. They mark the month and the month, and they mark the year. But what about the planets? What are they doing? Do they tell us anything? You know, of course, God didn't put them there for nothing. So, will it not be well this morning to inquire if God has established the movement of these planets? You know, that they should measure the dispensation determined upon man. Do they know? That's why this revolution of the planets, did God have anything to do with them to tie to our dispensation of man upon the face of the earth? Let's look into it in the Bible. It is evident that if such a knowledge were concealed in the movement of the heavenly bodies, it probably would be, you know, in a manner that would not be apparent immediately. Otherwise, such facts would be quickly discovered, and that possibly before the time appointed for this discovery. Daniel told us in the book of Daniel, at the end of time, Daniel 12:4, God began to reveal things, even in the science and so on. Think about what happened to people like Isaac Newton. They will say they found something by intuition. God allowed them to know certain things, you know, he just allowed them. And later on, they will now line up with scripture. Praise God. Amen. See, they will call it by intuition. In math, you just deduce something. You can't have a formula to it. We call it by intuition. I just know it is so. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, scientists are that as you mix it and so on. And, you know, so they just know, and then this is how they acknowledge God, you know. So, in Daniel 12, verse 4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. See that? And we are in that age now. Explosion of knowledge at the end of time. We are living in that time now. Knowledge shall be increased. Look at it now. Talk about 25 years ago, 30 years ago, do you have a cell phone? No. See? Knowledge increasing. And it's boomeranging everywhere. Fulfilling Bible prophecy that we are at the end of time. Praise God. See? We are at the end of time. So the mission, the main purpose of the end of the age is the coming of the Lord Jesus. You know, we can't even preach it enough anyway. So anyway, on the other hand, when the time came for these facts to be unveiled, you know, the relationship should show the design to be no mistake at all. Those revolutions of the planet and so on, do they relate to the predetermined time upon man, upon the face of the earth? That's what I want to look at this morning by God's grace. Now, let's go into it. Astronomers have long noted that there apparently exists some kind of order or design in the respective distances of the planets from the sun. Even astronomers, they just know it and so on. That, you know, that something has a record design. This thing, God designed all these things. Even science knew there is some design into the making of the heavens and so on. That, you know, that is, the location of the orbits of the planets seem not the result of chance at all, but rather of design. Praise God. There is a designer. Blessed be the name of the Lord, you know, as the Lord. The planetary order has gone under the name of a law they find in science. They call it Bode's law. You see, like Isaac Newton, God will allow them. Like Benjamin Franklin, God will allow them to find electricity. And so you just give them some inkling, and they will see into nature. Praise the Lord. If not because that man find electricity, man, before he find it, God has put electricity in nature. Amen. He just allowed man to find it, to exploit for his own good. Amen. He just found it out, but God already created it in nature. So that's how it goes and so on. So the same thing that I was talking about this morning, the same kind of thing and so on. The planetary order, go under the law, what's it called, Bode's law. Bode's law was a German scientist and so on, astronomer, I believe he is, who observed this thing. Maybe, I don't know, God showed it to me, I believe it is and so on. And he put out a law there. And the law goes like this and so on, that, you know. So it goes like this. And this man, his name was Bode, around 1772. Was when he lived, and you know, if put out a law, it goes like this. So he had somehow he came across a series of numbers: 0, 3, 6, 12, 24, 48, and so on like that. You know, so with this series now, I won't bore you down with what they do, adding 4 to each of these series of this series correspond exactly, you know, to the distances of each planet from the sun, you know. So again, I won't bog you down with the exact series, but you find this law, like Isaac Newton found the apple falling, right? And the rest is history. Praise God. Calculus was formed, mathematics was formed, trigonometry was formed, and all these things. They even went to the moon. From that time on, God allowing them to do all these things. So the same thing this man called Bode around 1772 found that there is a relationship between, there is a law governing the distance of each planet from the sun. And he gave a series of them and when Bode's law was first discovered, the existence of the and the law that he found was precise. For so precise, you can know that following this series, it predicted the distances of the each planet from the sun. So at the time of discovery, this law, the existence of the planetoids was not known, for example, you know. So it wasn't known and so on like that, you know. So I will come to that one later before we finish our tour. But astronomers, noting that there is an apparent gap in the correspondence of the order of the planets to the law that this man made, you know, they were able to notice that, look, there is a planet missing between, there must be a planet between Mars and Jupiter. Because they look at this law that this man wrote down, and all the planets, they form into that, they form into that category of the law that he found at the same distance that he found, and you know. So that's why they're able to find that there was a planet that was between Jupiter and Mars that was broken up and so on. And before, about, I don't know, 3 months ago or so, we talked about the catastrophe that befell the Earth. How we believe that, or we notice that, you know, so maybe during the flood, something happened from the heaven that caused great tidal wave and so on like that, you know. Anyway, so, but astronomers noting this apparent gap between, you know, they think that, you know, between Mars and Jupiter, they are able to locate this planetoid area between Jupiter and Mars by projecting, you know, this formula that this man found that he found. Well, so they were thinking there is so much gap between Jupiter and Mars, something has to be there, and they were looking, and they were rewarded. What did they find? So they were rewarded by the finding at the required distance foretold by this formula, the fragments of a broken or exploded planet. See? And these were planetoids or asteroids. And the number of these asteroids thus far discovered totals about several thousands, of which the biggest of them is called Ceres, C-E-R-E-A. And it's about 587 miles in diameter, the asteroids, you know. From time to time, you hear the scientists talking about asteroids and so on. They were even so afraid that one of them might hit the Earth one of these days, you know. They were so afraid and so on, if you listen to the science and so on like that, you know. So these planetoids are just a belt of asteroids between Jupiter and Mars and so on. How did they find it? By following that law that Bode found back in 1772, you know, how they can see that the relationship between this law and the location of each planet from the Earth, you know. So, and using that formula, they are able to say, look, there is too much gap between, you know, Mars and Jupiter. That's something that before. So they begin to look, and truly enough, what they found a belt of asteroids in that area and some of that, you know. And the biggest asteroid is called Ceres, 587 miles long and so on. So anyway, before we talk about this too and so on, and that asteroid there is about the 33rd biggest object in the solar system. That asteroid called Ceres, you know, in that belt and so on like that, you know. So anyway, the planetoids or asteroids, they don't have any common orbit at all, like the regular planets and so on like that, you know. And so each of these, they just wander in their own orbit. Jude said about wandering stars, right? In Jude 13 and so on like that, you know, wandering stars. So it's a belt of asteroids, they don't conform to any particular orbit. They're just like wandering stars out there, you know. They never know and so on like that. So their orbits have little of the orderliness of the rest of the planets. So, like I said before. Now, so let's go back to the subject proper right now. So now, How about the Pluto? The Pluto also wasn't yet discovered at the time, you know, that this law was made. But using that same law, they were able to discover Pluto. And right here in Arizona in 1930, they discovered that. Now, the period of the planets and the length of the dispensation of man, what is there any between the distance of, say, Mercury to the sun or Venus to the sun? Does it relate to the dispensation that man, that God gave man on earth? Let's look into it. Now, it has been discovered that, one, the planets nearest to the sun symbolize the first period of earth history. They find it out. That's one point, you see. So, as they were there, God put them not only to give life, the sun and the moon, but there are other purposes unknown to man before. Daniel says, knowledge will increase, and today, astronomy has increased. They find out a lot of things. That's the point I'm breaking this morning. They find a lot of things, even with the heaven, as well as, you know, God revealed to them. Now, they now find that the planets nearest to the sun symbolize the fourth period of Earth history, as you will see. The outer planets, of course, that are farther from the sun, in their order, make the dispensation that follow the early history of man. Nearer to the sun means the earlier dispensation of man on earth. As you go outwards from the sun, they show the dispensation of man, you know, toward the end of the age. Now, the inner planets, which complete their orbit in a period of less than a few hundred days, and some of that, you know, they symbolize a regular day of, you know, or year, and some of that, you know, they symbolize a day for a year. So, like Mercury, like, you know, like Venus, and so on, they are so close to the sun, right? So, you can say that their orbit, they just measure a day for a year, and some of that, you know. On the other hand, those other planets that are so many, that are far away from the sun, they do differently. So, their periods run even into centuries. They measure literal years. Then back to the Bible fact right now, what I just said now. So picture it. So God put those planets in their position there. He led man to find that there is a law that governs even their respective distances from the sun, right? Now we have even found out that even those distances of this planet from the sun, they even kind of tag the determination of what happened to man, even upon the face of the earth in history. Now, it has been found out that the first two planets, Mercury and Venus, we are going to see now how they tie to human history and so that, you know. The first two planets, Mercury and Venus, wow, the combined periods of these two planets, Mercury goes around the sun in 87 days, you know, and then Venus goes around the sun in 224 days. That's astronomy, right? Not astrology, right? When you add 87 to 224 days, you get 311 days. See? So that's one point. Now, if you multiply that 311 days by 2, you get 622. Okay? Now, what does that mean to us? This is exactly the number of years that elapsed from Adam until the birth of Enoch. See? That's where I'm going. Those heaven, they need something. Amen. Praise the Lord. I will repeat it now. So, Mercury goes around the sun because it is the nearest planet to the sun, right? It's in 87 days, it's done. Our earth is 365 days, right? Because it's far away from the sun, right? The farther out you go, the more you see the planet to go around the sun. So, they have found out now that, if you take the length of the period of Mercury, 87 days, for the length of the period of Venus, 224, is 311 days, right? Multiply 311 by 2, you get 622. That is exactly the number of years that elapsed from Adam until the birth of Enoch. And we know, of course, the birth of Enoch was the first event of unusual importance in the whole Bible, the birth of Enoch. Praise the Lord. See? Now, if the period between Mercury, 87 days, like I said before, is multiplied by 1.5, what do we get? We get 130. That is exactly the time Seth was born. 130. Seth was born 130 years after Adam. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. This thing are just there. You know, like I said, they were conceived before, but God begins to allow things to be opened up at the end of the age as we near the coming of the Lord. Don't have to memorize these things. Just to even know that these things are, they have the finger of God on them, amen? And that they mean something. Even the determination of man's things upon the earth, I even mentioned therein. I told astrology really, astronomy that God put there in the heavens and some of that, you know. So we see right there. Now, that is the first two planets right now. They talk about Enoch and Seth. See? The third planet is the earth where we live. No, we all know that one. Of course, the earth period is about, we take away the fraction, 365 days. That's the earth period, right? What do we find in the Bible? This period was exactly the number of years from Enoch's birth to his translation. Amen? Why not 370? You know, praise God. So the earth period is 365 days. And in the Bible, of course, Genesis 5:23, I can read that one. I may not be able to bring all the Bible verses for all these numbers. Some of them are within the Bible verses and so on. So our earth period around the sun is 365 days. Take away the fraction and some of that, you know. And in Genesis 5:23, what do we read? And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. See? And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
God took all of this day we are going up, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That we are living in the dispensation of the coming of the Lord. The most important message in Christendom right now is the soon appearing of the great and glorious God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the appearing. Amen. Praise God. So that's why we talk about it all the time, to get the hearing ready. Yes, we witness to the war, yes, but like never before, the coming of the Lord is at hand, right now. So we see that there. Now, it was during the Enoch ministry that the antediluvian race on this earth had its golden opportunity to have repented. See, Enoch is so important. The time he came, and we see what we have found about him, you know, the heart goes around the sun, you know, 365 days, just like Enoch's translation was 365 years from his birth. So we saw that. So let's see more about, so it was his time during his ministry. The antediluvians had the grace to really turn things around for themselves, to repent of the sins. So in Jude 1:14, the Bible talks about him. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of this thing, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Even from Enoch, he's talking about the coming of the Lord already, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Right from there, he's talking about the coming of the Lord already. How much more now should we talk about the coming of the Lord, you know? See? So, and verse 15 says, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. They are doing the same thing now at the end of the age, you know. They speak all kinds of things about Christ. And the bride elect of this end of the age, like Enoch, is warning them. We pray, we intercede, and the warning has even gone out and is going out. Amen. Praise the Lord. And see, it's inevitable. Judgment is inevitable. Praise the Lord. It's inevitable. See, God, after I have shown mercy for so long, and they didn't listen to the warning, see, he has no other option but judgment and so on. That, you know. So, that was it for the planet Earth, right? With what it symbolizes and so forth, its period around the sun. You can start to the scripture, one of that was translated, Enoch and so on, that, you know, and warned the antediluvian beforehand to repent, and they refused and so on, that, you know. How about the fourth planet, Mars? They call it the God of War. That's called the God of War. The fourth planet is called Mars, right? And it's called the God of War. Well, Mars revolves around the sun, its period is 669 Martian days. You have seen their robot parading the Mars, and now the presidency will go to Mars, right? See, anyway, that's by the way. Anyway, its period is 669 days around the sun. That's for Mars. It rotates on its axis in 24 hours, 37 minutes, and 22 seconds. It's like almost close to the earth. That's why they are probing and think they can find life over there and so on, that, you know, because just almost like 24 hours and so on, that, you know, around 27 minutes around that is his fear on his own eyes and all that, you know. But around the sun, it takes him 669 days to go around the sun. We are talking about the period or the length of the period of this planet tied to human destiny upon the earth and the dispensation of man. We begin to see it now. We see Enoch and so forth. So many, you know, tied to the earth circle around the sun. His birth was 365 years from when it was translated and so on that, you know. Now, 669 years, which is the period of Mars, was the actual period between Enoch's translation and the flood. According to calculation, it's there. So it's exactly 669 years for the translation of Enoch to the flood. See? And or what the Bible tells us in Genesis 6:11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. See, right there. The number, the length of the period of mass around the sun, 669, and so on that, So, days, but in measuring in years, it's exactly the number of years from Enoch's translation to the flood. You wonder, and so on that, then about 369 years later, the flood came and destroyed the world, Can you see now how dispensation of man on earth is tied even to the number, of the period of those planets around the sun, So that's why I won't be at the beginning. Please, no astrology whatsoever. We are just so happy. I don't know. God's church will be so thrilled. They will know what is carved in the originality of all beings. Amen. God, what the prophecy say? Praise the Lord. Amen. God will reveal things to his people. See? And so on. At the end of the age, and we are living out there now. So, man, of course, this is now history. I've brought out the real point. So, his revolution around the sun takes him 369 days. That's the number of years from Enoch's translation to the flood. So, anyway, now, in mythology, Mars is named after the Roman god of war. See, why? Many people, the ancients, know about this planet. Some of them know about this. The ancients knew about this, how much more God's children. Many believe that ancient people associate Mars with bloodshed and war because of its red color. See, the Romans were not the only people or society to associate the planet with bloodshed. The ancient Babylonians call it, or they call Mars Naga, N-A-R-G-A-S. Even Babylonians and so on, they know about the planet. How much more God's children at the end of time, amen? Praise the Lord. After their god of fire, war, and destruction. Just history and the mythology, India. Let's go to the fifth planet. Very short, message and so on like that, Fifth planet, which is what I talk about, it's called the planetoids, or the exploded planet. One time we talked about the catastrophe that hit the earth, about 2 months ago, I don't know that, So the fifth planet is the planetoid, or the exploded planet. Now, the next planet is this. So it's between the orbits of Mars and Jupiter, So astronomers have long speculated why this planet should be broken to pieces, Each fragment of which there must be thousands of them. I told you the biggest of them there is Ceres, 587 miles long, an asteroid and so on. And, so scientists inquiring into this phenomenon have asked themselves whether some terrible catastrophe in the past has occurred that resulted in the demolition of this planet or this body. Well, like I said before, we had a discussion before on this. To the possibility that some heavenly body at one time approached the earth so closely that enormous tide wave raced to be causing the flood. God could have used anything he wanted, praise the Lord. Just talking. God could have used anything, and we know when two heavenly bodies come too close. We even know the moon. At full moon, we know the tides are higher on our seashore. You see? Bless the name of the Lord. So we see that one there. Scientists agree that the gravitational forces involved on a second small body like earth and moon and some of that, you know, could break it into pieces. Whether this is what God used in the time of the flood, we don't know. But even time find us out, you know, that this thing happened between heavenly bodies and so on, you know. And so just talk about that so on. So anyway, that planet, which is the fifth one, broken into parts, into pieces and so on, that, you know, whatever happened to it over there and so on. Now let's talk about the sixth planet, Jupiter. They call it the god of this age, you know. Jupiter is the god of this age. That's one of that, you know. So the period of Jupiter is 4,332 days. That's how long it takes it to go around the sun. Our Earth is 365, right? Jupiter, it takes it 4,332 days to go around the sun as well. You know? What does that mean to us? This is exactly the number of years in Bible reckoning from the flood to the year 1952 and 1953. That's exactly the number of years when the flood occurred to 1952-1953. What is magical number in year 1952 and 1953? Well, the thing is this. These are the years of the greatest migration of the Jews back to Israel. Amen? Praise the Lord. God time clock. Praise God. See? It's just right there, you know. And we love to talk about everything that God has, you know. See? And in blessing God, we bless his people, you know. So, exactly right. So, 52-53 was the greatest migration of the Jews back to the Holy Land and so on, you know. So, what does that mean to us? The great migration of Israel to Palestine. Ending the Gentile age. Very important. Praise the Lord. How do we know that's the end of the Gentile age? We are just living in transition time. Amen. Yeah. God's will come back to the Jews and so on. That, you know, the Lord prophesied in Luke 21, which will be a familiar scripture here already, 24, verse of Luke 21. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden out of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So, and so the number of days that takes Jupiter to go around the sun, so in that number of years from the flood to the year 1952 and 53 was 4,332 years. See? And the Jews begin to flock back to Israel from their dispersion that the Lord prophesied, you know, in AD 33 or somewhere in India, you know. So, see, how they are tied together like that, now that they're just there, you know, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, amen? Amen. It's the honor of kings to search out a matter. Bless God. Amen. This is our, we glory in this thing. We don't belong to this world, amen? Amen. Our home is in heaven. So, and we looking unto heaven, from whence we look again for our Lord Jesus Christ, amen? And so we talk about everything God has ever, you know, revealed and some of that, you know. That's the liberty we have here. Now, the seventh planet, Saturn. What do you know Saturn for? The most beautiful in the heavens, amen? Praise the Lord. You know, and, you know, most beautiful heavenly object. Not much to be talking about it. All we can say is this. We find in the chronology scale of the planet, the magnificent Saturn. Of course, the biggest of all the planets in the solar system anyway. Most beautiful and some of that, you know. And you know, the seventh planet evidently symbolizes the period of Israel's restoration. That's what we can say. You know, the last planet and so on, so beautiful and so on. The time of Israel's restoration. The previous one, you know, that we talked about, you know, Jupiter and so on. And then we saw that you know, how it marked the flocking back of Israel, you know, of Jews back to Israel and so on, that, you know. Well, how about the outer planets, the many four planets? We can say about this. You don't have to worry about this math. I've been done. With, you know, and you know, like Isaac Newton brought calculus. Benjamin brought electricity. It has been done. We just know it and just glorify God in it and boost our faith that God has everything in control in this world, amen? And all the world. Now, doubling the periods of the outer planets as done with the inner planets, it was found that the sum of their period is 524 years, you know. And if the 524 is multiplied by 2, what do we get? We get 1048 solar years. And what can we say about that? This period is exactly equivalent to the time elapsing from 1953 to 3001. We are going to the future right now, you know. Forget about the math. Just thinking that God has his finger on this thing, that nothing was asked there by accident. The distance of the planet for the sun is not just by chance, amen? God even measured the destiny of man, even by distance and so on, they mean something. The sun and the moon, they give light and so on, but more than that, they measure days, they measure months, they measure years and so on. So the planets are not just even there idly. God put them there for a purpose, you know? So what I just said right now is that when we double the periods of the other outer stars together, and you know, we got 524 years and so on, that, you know, multiply by 2,1048 solar years, and then what do we get? That is 1953 to 3001. What does that mean? That will complete man's 7,000 years, you know. So that's far in the future, but you know, it's just the idea, you know. So all these things I'm talking about this morning, very simple and very, well, not complicated, you know, but just bringing out how these things tie to the Bible and very, very important things in the Bible, how we can see from the inner planets, you know, measure the early, history of man and the world as we go out, right? I'm talking about the outer ones, not talking about Israel and all these things now, when they begin to flow back to their homeland and so on, that, you know, and, see what, you know, so God marked those down in the heaven. So are all these amazing coincidences, are they by chance at all? No, not by chance, really. It's a record design, praise the Lord. The record design by the Almighty God. Now, the 10th planet, Pluto, it's called the God of Hades, you know. They call it the God of Hades. Now, I won't talk so much about today. Science they call it a dwarf planet. Don't even recognize it anymore anyway. But nevertheless, it has its own place. It's called the God of Hades. At first, it was thought to have a period of 249 years, which we deviate from Bode's law that we have been using. But a more accurate measurement now make it 247, and it knocks it down to that law. That man found in 1772, like Isaac Newton found gravity when he saw the apple falling, you know? The same thing. You know, so later on, he fell to write to the Bode's law, you know? And so, a number of names were suggested for this planet called Pluto. But finally, Pluto, the God of Hades, was chosen. What is it? The God of Hades was chosen. I'm finishing that now. Very short time. Is it not remarkable then that this last planet, which in the chronological scale typifies the end of the world and the bringing forth of the dead from Hades to judgment, should be called Pluto, the God of Hades? Can you see, we beginning from Mercury and so on, that, you know, and to Venus and so on, that, you know, tied to Enoch. We went through history and so on, each planet as we go out, you know, marking man's decision upon the face of the earth. I didn't even know that, how Israel was God's time clock, how, you know, we can see Israel in the picture, you know, 1953 and 52, how they flocked back to their homeland and so on, that, you know, and now even how the beautiful, you know, Saturn and so on, that, you know, specify the resurrection of Israel. So all these things and so on, that, you know. Now look at the last one, Computer 12, you know, there is an invisible one they found. I won't reckon with that right now, you know. So they found out what they call an invisible. They haven't seen it, they can feel it by their instruments. Nevertheless, the one we know, the last one is, you know, is Pluto. And why would they call it God of Ages? We are now at the end of the age. Can you see how those planets and their distances mark human's disposition upon the face of the earth? Revelation 20, you know, I want to finish right there, you know, and you know, the God of Hades, the Pluto, the last one. We are at the end of the time. The innermost one, Mercury, Venus, and so on, they kind of mark the early history of man. As we go out to the last one, Pluto, to the end of the age, the end of the session and so on. So I call the God of Hades. Revelation 20:11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the heart and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened.
And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Can you see how that planet, you know, they call it the god of Hades of all names? And it's the last one, as far as we know, they can find, I don't know, and as far as we know. And marking the end of the age, the end of everything, and so that, you know, the new and the ages of ages kick in, all those kind of things happening. So we can see what God has revealed through his anointed prophet and so on. And even secular people that God just used, you know, in science and so on to bring forth the truth of the Bible. So you see, so that's what I want to talk about this morning. So when you think of those planets, think about it. Even God put them there for a purpose, and they reveal at the end of time that knowledge has been increased, you know. And so, but for us this morning, you know, you and I, God's children, our name is written in heaven, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. You know, the Lord sent the 70 out, 2 by 2, to go and preach the gospel in Luke chapter 10. And when they came back, oh Lord, they said, and in Luke 10:17, and the 70 returned again with joy. See? Joy of witnessing, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Joy of witnessing. With joy, saying, oh Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Hear what the Lord said. Notwithstanding, in verse 20, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the devils or spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Amen? Praise the Lord. What a joy. When we think about those things, what a joy, you know? And even more so, to the overcomer, we are living the dispensation where we should endeavor to achieve to the goal of the overcomer. Amen? That is the age we are living in. Christianity has come in, you know, different ages and so on, but this age is the age where God encourages children to achieve, to endeavor to achieve to the goal of the overcomer. Praise God.
Amen.
See what he said in Revelation 2:17 by the overcomer and so on. We should be in your mind every day. That's what you want to be, overcomer. The Lord says, even in many other scriptures, he that overcometh as I also overcame. But anyway, verse 17 of Revelation 2. He that hath an ear, he said, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Talking about your name now, that's a special name in heaven, amen? Your name is written in heaven, right? You should be rejoicing. No, tell unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it, amen? You have a name that I won't know, amen? Praise the Lord. That nobody else will know, just you, and God reserve it for you. I like the book of Peter, the treasure that is reserved in heaven for you. Amen?
Amen.
Whether it's no more, no inflation or deflation can eat there. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, Lord, when we think about this, how can we not rejoice? Amen?
Amen.
The suffering of this present hour, we are tested. Yes. That's why what makes us to be the perfect children of God. See, we are tempted and so on, you know. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. You know, and you know, it shall attain, we are tempted, you receive a crown of life. Praise the Lord. See? Now, even more about this, in the Philippians 4:3, I want to close that. Philippians 4:3, you know, about even more about the name and so on. Even that book of life, those who are punished at the end of time, you know, and so on, that the God of Hades talk about in that last planet, where we don't belong. I'm showing you where we belong, who we are. I show you that we are rejoicing because our name is written in heaven, right? Your name is written in heaven. We are even showing that God has a special name for you that only you will know. Praise the Lord. Reserved for you. Even now in Philippians 4:3. Don't tell me to for Philippians only, otherwise, well. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel. With Clement also. and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Amen. Praise God. Just like you and I, Christians, book of life. That's why we are rejoicing. Now, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. See? And again, I say rejoice. The Lord says rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
The epistle says here that because your name is the book of life, then rejoice in the Lord always, not just sometimes. And again, I say rejoice. I will read more of the verses. I like this one. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The message of the hour. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is at hand. See? Now, I like this verse. And lately, it has been my thought for many months now. When I say, what that Cabral was saying the other time in the beginning of the service, you know, this Bible, we just read it. The more you read, the more you think God will reveal to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at that verse. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. It's working for me more than magic. Amen. Praise the Lord. No, praise God. In everything, no matter what they are, you see, it just solves a lot of problems for me day by day. Praise God. So let your be anxious for nothing, but in everything, big and small, see, you know, by prayer and supplication, so with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. That by this Bible is true, the word of the living God. Amen. Dare to practice it. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to read one more scripture, maybe two more. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, on the same note, rejoice evermore. Amen. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Rejoice evermore, no matter what. Pray without ceasing. I want to close with all we have said this morning about all those heavens and so forth. I want to read Psalm 8 and close from there. Don't forget the joy, no matter what it is. You are not to do anything more. If there is anything else you need to do, God will tell you. Amen.
Amen.
So we say, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing in everything. Give thanks. You know, be anxious for nothing. When things come across your way, don't forget that scripture. You know, what should I be doing? See, prayer and supplication. Then we thanksgiving. Give thanks. You know, and then God's peace will follow. Now, Psalm 8, as I just to exhort the Lord here right now. All I've been saying all day long, Psalm 8, I want to read the old psalm I quote from there to the chief musician upon Gittish, the Psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thy enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visited him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou makest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Our joy is the word of the Lord. You see, you say that what we have found, I did eat them. The word is the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Scripture says. See, that word is like fire in my bones. Lord, we thank you this morning. Give us understanding of all these things, Lord God. How will not our faith grow? When we know that the Almighty who dwells in us control all things. When we know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, how can we not rejoice? When we know our Heavenly Father is ever with us. When we know that your angel encamps around us. When we know you are the Prince of Peace, Lord, we thank you this morning. We worship and we glorify thy name, Lord. Blessed be thy name, Lord. Thank you for your word, O Lord, in the name of the Lord. This is our glory. We glory in the revelation of the things of the Lord. So as we go this morning, Father, we commit all and every request of our heart to your hand this morning. Lord, we just heard the psalm right now. Lord, by our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we have been made to be more than conquerors through him that loved us, even the Lord Jesus Christ. As we go, Lord, this morning, Lord, or afternoon rather, Lord, know to our place of work as the week opens up, Lord, cause us to find favor everywhere we turn in the name of the Lord. On the job, in the business, cause us to have favor. Lord, oh Lord, even as we have been sitting in your presence, Lord God, I don't know, 2 hours right now, Lord. Lord, even David said, a whole day in your court is better than 1,000 in the name of the Lord Jesus. Sometimes you just sit in the Lord's house for a whole day, you know, and some of that, you know, and just beholding the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple, he said. Lord, so we thank you for the time we have spent here, our rejoicing, our singing. So we shall find favor everywhere we turn. In the name of the Lord Jesus, as it is written in Psalm 1, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. In the name of the Lord Jesus. That's our position and our portion. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let everywhere we go, with all boldness as always, not to shun, to declare as we are led by the Holy Ghost to every man of what the hope that lies in us. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Even grant it, Father. Lord, draw unto us, O Lord, the scattered sheep, as prophecy said, Lord. Lord, O God, talking about witnessing and so on, that, Lord, the biblical pattern. O Lord, let our hearts so be so close to you, like a Philip of old. No, and that hungry Ethiopian man, Lord, see, no mistake, you know. Oh, like that Cornelius, Lord, oh God, who was so, no, though he did all the cool, he didn't have salvation, he was doing what he can, and that was Peter there seeking God, and he connected them together. Oh Lord, bring the Bible pattern again. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus. There is only one gospel, Lord, not two gospels. This gospel, he said, this gospel of the kingdom, the original pattern. Oh, restore it, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. If I be done overnight, by the power of the Holy Ghost, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you. Help us to wait enough, Lord. Help us to be sufficiently, you know, acquainted with you, Lord. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord, see, you shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, we have received the Holy Ghost. He has come upon you, upon us, Lord. So therefore, Lord, just guide our thoughts, guide our footsteps, order ourselves, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Even Peter didn't want to go to Cornelius, he was deceived, but God guided him. No, don't call anything unclean, which I've called clean. See, and he surrendered to God. Help us to fully surrender to you, Lord. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Not to call anybody unworthy, you know, but rather to listen to the Holy Spirit, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Don't let us be of them that go and weep, Lord, and sowing precious seeds, O Lord, and we shall doubtless come again, no, with the sheaves, in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you this morning. Believe you for a glorious week, a blessed week, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let men know that you have been with Christ when this week is over, Lord, or through it, Lord. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray for our relatives, Lord, you know, in the name of the Lord, especially those who have not really, you know, physically give themselves to the Lord. Lord, oh Lord God, Lord, touch, draw them, Lord. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, draw them, oh Lord. And Lord, for our immediate families, we claim the promise of God. We are saved and our household, in the name of Jesus. That is the gospel message. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and the household, in the name of the Lord. So therefore, Lord, know, and so we thank you this morning, and we go forth, Lord, trusting the Lord, until we meet again, Lord. And if there be any other request in our hearts this morning, Lord, Lord, you search the heart by your Spirit, Lord, oh God. You know what is in our heart, Lord. You know what is in our mind, Lord.
Lord, even the one we know, we don't even know how to pray as we ought to, but we thank you for the great comforter, you know, the great helper who helpeth our infirmities in the name of the Lord Jesus, and maketh intercession for us according to the will of God. We submit all these unspoken requests to your hand this morning, Father, and they shall be granted in the name of the Lord Jesus. So until Lord, every one of us, Lord, O God, are made perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Lord, our children, great shall be their peace in the name of the Lord Jesus. There shall be no evil before us, this adulterous and crooked and perverse generation in the name of our Lord Jesus. Lord, we are shining as light for the glory of God. Again, we thank you for blessing us this morning. Until we meet again, Lord, we know your ever abiding presence will keep us, will guide us, will direct us, will bless us. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you for your patience, Lord God. Thank you.
Let's sing the song in closing. We give him all the glory. We give him all the honor. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory.